historic visit with Elma this Sunday, the 9th of June, 74. Channel 1 Right, and the beginning of this historic visit with Elma, when Faye and Debbie, the Mamu, this Sunday, the 9th of June, 74. Channel 1 Right, and beginning of the visit of this historic visit with Elma, this Sunday, the 9th of June, 74, with Faye Burke and Debbie and Mamu.
Artificial, I guess that's what you call it.
Yeah.
Oh, but if I didn't have what a place I got, I'd love to live out here. Oh, I love it.
Well, John's going to be in. He's out in the field. He's going to be in a little while.
Yeah.
And he works out there, comes in, just drink a little orange juice. Well,
thank you.
Work on his sound a little bit over here. And, the rest of us, we'll round up one at a time. Isn't that wonderful?
Did I hear somebody talking?
Lord.
Oh, Lord.
You don't mean it.
Well, I just declare. How you do?
How you do yourself?
I don't know whether I look like myself or not.
Yep, I recognize you, but you know, she had talked a little bit before I really got on the head.
Yeah, that right.
But now, I didn't think you'd know me. Cody rags me so much about being so fat till
Yes, you're supposed to be sort of stringy, aren't you?
I thought so. I went to Dr. Emil 2 weeks ago, and he said, I wish you could get back like you were when you started coming to me. And I said, man, I can't starve. But I tell you one thing, guy, what it is.
Just sit right down.
This year not working and just eating more and more, that'll really put on you folks to get around and walk. Y'all stay slender.
Well, let me tell you, I still have trouble with these animals don't mind me.
They don't?
No.
I quit messing with mine. I don't know whether they mind me or not. But you know, a few days, we've had 3 messes of peas, and I carried the pea hulls out to dump them over the field.
Yeah.
And I called a cow. I called a baby. I hadn't called that cow, I don't believe, in 2 years. And you know, she come just as straight to me and come there humming to me just like she used to.
Oh, don't tell me. Is that right?
Yeah. But Cody does. I don't have but 3. Cody does all that they get. I just won't. As good as I love them, I just can't. Now, here a while back, of course, that was his cow. She was missing. Well, I didn't even offer to see about him when he came in. He asked Diane if she'd seen him. She said no, but she's going to go look for it. He said if Diane had been able, said she had been all over that whole field. But I don't ever go out there.
Yeah.
If I'm able in the Lord willing, tomorrow I'm going to go out there and my little boys to hunt some blackberries.
Do you think you'll find any?
Diane Cody's remarried and got the second round, and she's got a little boy 9 years old, and he said that he was out there that day picking yesterday. He found some berries, too. I thought I'd go out there and see if I could find
them. Well, now, I forget, you know, but these berries down here, they start out promising, but then they never get anywhere. I think there's too much Bahia grass. No, even out there where there ain't any Bahia grass, they still just knot up. We haven't had a mess of berries down here.
Well, I haven't had a miss, not on the wing. Because I used to go out there with the boys and pick them. But they'd eat them fast as I could pick them. You never could get none ahead.
Yeah.
And when I had a little pothole about a quart, every time that's what we'd have to take. Well, they'd wait till we got that pot about full, you know, and then they'd start eating. Sometimes then we'd have about that deep. At first I was afraid to make them sick, but I found out it doesn't hurt them. Well, I want to tell you about your house.
Yeah.
I just told Faye, I was sitting in there a while ago, and I got to looking around, and I thought, well, I know no air, artificial air couldn't smell and taste this good. This is the nicest place I've seen in years and years.
Well, the trouble is, ain't any like it. They all, most, not many like it anymore.
Oh, I love it. This is so much better than any air you could buy. You educated people wouldn't call that, but my sister, they laugh at me about calling about buying air, but that's what it is, artificial air, what they get.
Yeah.
But it's not sweet and good like this.
No.
It's the nicest place.
It feels good around 15 minutes. And after that, I just threw and let the windows up.
Yeah. But you know, 2 winters ago, I was at my baby sister's. I say winters. Well, the first night, I had one wool blanket doubled on me. So the next night, I told her I wanted some more cover. Okay, that morning it turned colder at night, and her husband got it next morning. And I had 2 thick wool blankets doubled on me. Got it next morning, he said, you know, it turned cold before daylight. He said, I had to pull that sheet up on me. And there I was sleeping on the 2 double blankets. And him said,
now, who was that?
My baby sister's husband.
Who's your baby sister?
She lives in Live Oak. I don't think you ever seen her.
Oh.
I used to say anybody I ever could love better than Elva, I didn't want to see him.
Well, do you see her now?
Nope. Oh, I haven't seen her in 3 or 4 months.
Okay.
Well, she has a starvation diet, part-time, and then, poor thing, last 2 years, she has aged. It's pitiful. She's got, I don't know if she stays on a diet most of the time, but her cholesterol get way too high, and she has to go to the hospital and stay a while. And her husband used to dress so neat, and last 2 times I saw him look like he'd borrowed somebody's clothes. He had lost so much weight, and he just hung up, looked like he'd borrowed somebody's clothes.
Yeah.
But I had a letter from her yesterday, and she said that Archer was having some bulldozer done. I didn't know he still owned it anyway around the lake. She said he was able, he's just out of the hospital about a week, and she said he was able to be out there where he's having some bulldozing done, you know.
Well, if he's having bulldozing done, he better be out there, hadn't he?
I imagine. She said that there's had to be somebody out there, but I think the charge for that, from the way she talked,
yeah,
used to be $10 an hour when I knew about it, but I imagine now it's like everything else. But one is not hardly able to wait on the other, but they're fortunate their daughter lives right there close to them.
Yeah.
They used to live in town. Well, then, I just kept saying he's going to move out. So now they live out a mile.
Yeah.
They got a beautiful red brick home, and then not very far, they got 3 bedrooms, but I think the daughter's got 4, just a big wide yard between them.
Yeah. Oh, I see. Well, they're pretty well established then, aren't they?
It's a beautiful place where they live, but I'd be scared of all those big high pines. Well, it's just a pretty place for both of them, but then I don't think she ever really enjoys it. Poor thing, she stays. She don't stay in the bed too much, but she's up around. But I don't think she feels too good in the way she looks. And artists, oh.
Well, what did artists do? I don't remember him either.
Well,
I don't even remember you talking about him. I guess you did.
I might have. If I didn't, I was thinking about him.
Yeah.
But anyway, at that time, Otis run a tractor place. And then he sold that along about that time. He went in the car business. And after his health, I think that's what done. Anyway, about 2 years ago, he sold that out. I think I read that in the paper. They wouldn't have told it, but I happened to get hold of the paper. I think it's $95,000 he sold that for. But I heard him tell Brother Hamp one time, he had two line of business. There where they live, it's close to 200 acres for a pasture. They live in the site right by. But then, I say 10 miles guessing out there, he's got 550 acres in his pasture. That's where he gets his money from, he said out there. Oh, he's got cows out there. He's got cross fences. If I had just one of those little places,
yeah,
I'd be rich.
Yeah, you'd be
well
to do.
But you know, Otis hadn't got too much education, but he's got a business sense, or whatever you call it. I used to go out there with him, and I don't see how he remembers all that many. But now, this guy, he would say this certain cow, maybe he bought her for $10 or $15, old poor cow, you know. And bring out and put her down that good pasture and feed her. In a little while, she'd bring him a calf, and he said it always the first calf would bring more than the cow did get paid for, you know. I don't know, but he buys a lot. He goes to sales.
Yeah.
I know one time he said he went to a sale, and he knew the man, I think, and he was going to take a truckload of poor cows there. I don't know why he wanted to sell them poor. I don't know about that. But Otis bought several from him, but they went through the sale, you know. So Otis bought several of his cows, and he said, the only thing in the world, I don't even need pasture. He said, the old man was too lazy, he wouldn't grow no pasture. And so he got them real cheap. And he said, you couldn't say that it was dishonest. He said, if a man put them up for sale, because he wouldn't grow them a pasture. He said, but it was shame to make the profit he did off of them. Just for lack of the little seeds, you know.
Yeah.
But whenever.
Well, what nothing he could do about it.
No, I said it. He just happened to have the good pasture, and that other man didn't. I said that's the reason why he can make so much profit.
Well, I had some experience with that pasture business. When I come down here, I didn't aim to go in the cattle business.
He didn't.
So, and then I got to looking at things, you see, it was all planted in pasture. You see, the whole place was in pasture. They hadn't done any truck farming here for several years. And I thought, well, I just can't plow up all this grass. So, well, one thing led to another, but I bought a herd of cattle. And they unloaded them right through that lane. I thought, Lord, now I'm in business. And that was the first week of April when they did that. And the cows were calving, and the bull was with them too. Well, they just spread out here and put their heads down and eating away. And I thought, well, sir, I'm going to have. And you know,
oh.
It hasn't had any care, any fertilizing, or anything else, you see. And there I was, and that year, those cows, they didn't get enough to eat. They were still breeding back. Well, now, that's how well qualified I was.
You have to learn.
Into the cow business.
Yeah.
I didn't even know why I had pasture, didn't I?
Well, you know, it's been so dry, Cody hadn't been feeding his cows very long.
Oh, yeah.
Well, last year, I know he fed them too late up in the year, and he could fertilize the grass, and, you know, I didn't know it. I thought so. But he was worse off after he fertilized it. It didn't rain, and he was worse off than if he hadn't fertilized it. But after it rained, then it went to growing. I think he's got 19 cows. I got that one.
Yeah. keeps his hand in, he farms a little bit, plants a little pasture, or at least keeps it going.
Yeah. Well, now, he didn't plant no pasture last fall. He said it'd be cheaper to buy the seed, but he didn't buy none. Only he bought cottonseed meal. I was going to get him to do that. That's the only thing I had to say about it. But you can put out the cottonseed meal, a third salt and two-thirds cottonseed meal. That won't keep them fat, but they'll stay good and strong on it. So I got him on that.
A third salt.
One-third salt and two-thirds cottonseed meal. That's the best cow feed you can do for strength. Now, and they don't get enough to stay fat. But they'll stay good and strong.
Yeah.
But this year, got busy and didn't put out as much of it. But I didn't know it a while back. And he said, oh, just hadn't had time. But he's been really catching it. I don't know how many years he's been working in the day, supposed to work in the daytime. But if something go wrong, then he has to go back down there. If he just come home in the evening, he's got to go back. And sometimes then they call him after supper and go down there and stay till 2 o'clock. I told him, I said, I hope they get the good out of him.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't think he gets one penny. They're just working, you know.
Yeah.
But he's got a real nice boss, man.
Well, he's been there as long as they can figure he's...
free labor. I don't know. He told me why, but you know, it would know. I don't know what. But anyway, he has to write checks and see about all such as that.
Oh, yeah.
And then that said, just do that and let him go. But then them old computer things tear up, and he has to go down there. I don't know what he has to do about it, but he's got to be there. Sometime I tell him, I hope to get the good out of him. And now the yards growed up. I started to tell Faye about it. Charles came. His daddy runs the filling station, and I talked to him over the phone. Somebody recommended to him what to do. Oh, he had stuff until him old mimosa trees. Well, when Cody finally got around to it, him and Mr. Kelly sprayed them. But it was during dry weather. That was last summer. And I want you to know that moisture really put them to growing. See, they was dry. And then they went and sprayed them. But they really went to growing. I said, I didn't want no more char cane stuff sprayed where I live. Had old big moss tree there. When Cody brought it to me, it was about that high, and it was so withered, just like the umbrella shut up.
Was that your best start with
the moss? Yep. And I watered, and I fertilized, and I pitted, and long there I had where I could find it. Well, that thing is high. Ooh! But last year, I noticed its leaves started to look like kind of limp. And I thought, well, what's happened to you? Well, it died. I called it the blight. Tim Cato named something else, said it got a lot of trees in Gainesville. Well, it had a small tree.
I didn't know.
Well, she said it got a lot of, but I didn't care about that old tree. I wanted it to die. But I had some, I don't know what to call them now, but we used to call them bridal wreaths.
Yeah.
Well, they was as big as from the end of this table over there. To the wall, you know, drooped over and higher than I am. Oh, that's beautiful. Well, that blight got three of my big bushes.
Oh, it got them?
Got those. I said, well, the old mimosa tree was well enough for it to blight, but I said, I did hate for my pretty bushes to die. One of them was a double. I don't know, just for my child, I always loved it. I put them out there, little sprigs, you know, about like that. Oh, fertilized it. And I had something. Cody said I wouldn't chatter here because I can't remember nothing. But you know what, this has all those red berries and thorns that long on it. Well, anyway. And they're pests, aren't they?
Yeah, they are.
Well, Lil said, you know, he wouldn't let one grow in his place. And I said, well, I'll just claim a place out there and set that one. Well, I set off out there back of my other things. Hamp gave me a little old bush. He found, Hamp had an old bush Oh, I never seen none no bigger than Luke. But he found a little one about like that, and he gave it to me. And after he dug it up, Luke said she didn't want that giveaway. And I said, well, keep it, Hamp. He said he had one too many. Said he wasn't going to set it back out. Said he pulled up every one he found. Said if he worked for Miss Lou, he'd have that big one dug up for the roof. Oh, it was so beautiful. But anyway, I petted and babied with it. Oh, it was much higher than I am. So, they had the green berries on in the spring, like, and in the fall's when they turned that pretty red. Well, I went out there, but you know, a lot of birds out there.
Yeah.
They usually kept them picked off. I went out there, and it was just loaded with
them. Yeah, there was birds out there.
Well, my bush was just loaded with green berries, and I thought, well, maybe they can't pull all that many off. Well, then I didn't go out there for a while. But putting stuff in the freezer and messing around with the young'uns. Went out there and it was just as dead as a board. Rotted off right even with the dirt. I hadn't been out there, see, lately about it. And it was done so old that it rotted off right to the dirt. I don't know where that blight, it was right close to where that blight blooms was. It might have got it. So, I reckon I don't pretend to nothing. I don't need no flowers. I got some coleus and things, but I don't need them.
Well, you keep your coleus on the pot. No, you plant them out.
Yeah, well, I got mine in pots, because I put leaf mold in the pot. Cody's oldest boy is 11 years old. He'll water them for me.
You, them big hydrangeas, didn't you have some of them?
One of them died graveyard dead, and the other one is still there, the pretty one. Now I got me a pink one.
Oh, have you? Oh.
But just this year, just got the one about that big for Mother's Day and about that high.
Yeah. What did you have sitting on the porch there, right there in the right, looking to the right there in the corner of your yard? What bush was that?
So maybe I reckon. No, it wasn't on, you said it was on the porch?
No, if you were sitting on the porch looking out, it would be to your right.
Yeah, that was me.
Was that a camellia bush?
Mm-hmm. It's way high, nine.
Yeah.
One on each side, one's a red and one's a pink one.
One's a red and one's a pink one.
A pink section over there, and I forgot the ones over here. Red is ugly. That red and ugly, it's just a kind of a single bloom with a yellow center. It's real horrible. But that yellow one's beautiful.
God, there's not a thing changed in the yard.
Only it's grown up.
It hasn't. Not. It's, you know, it's just like it was. The yard.
Yeah, but that backyard needs mowing. Oh, but I thought I screwed out. And get Tommy, the oldest, and of course I told Faith, Cody tells me that's the only grandchild anybody ever had, and sometimes now that's only somebody ever had a grandchild tell the truth, and I can't mean all of it. But I don't pay no attention to him, but I don't somebody else fling him in my face. I don't like it at all. But I do love that little old booger.
Well,
I love all of them. But Tommy's more affectionate than the other three, and I was telling Say about it. If you have anything, he won't save his daddy some. Something extra, he won't save his daddy some. And if you give him chewing gum, he's going to sure if his daddy's on the place, see that his Cody wants some of it. And them other three, you can give them a pack of chewing gum if you give it to them. They put a bit of it in the mouth at one time. If you let them, they'll never say, well, do you reckon my daddy want a piece or you want a piece? Give me all you can. If Tommy don't have but one plug of chewing gum, he won't know if his daddy wants part of it.
What kind of cigars did Leo smoke?
I don't know. I bought him anyone, but I don't know.
Well, I can smell them right now. You see, we'd eat and go out there on the porch and sit for a while, and swing and all, and Leo would always light up on that cigar.
And you know what? He could smoke one. Now, I've had people say it wasn't so, but I'm telling you the truth. He smoked so much in that fire room, if you sit in the smoke, Al, you could open up the windows and the doors and everything, and the next morning you could still smell like smoke and get in the curtains and in the bedclothes. But people said that wouldn't do it, but it'll do it.
Especially that cigar smoke.
That's what I'm talking about. I can't remember to you. I hadn't thought about it in years, but I don't know what he smoked, but they could still, you could smell them, I know.
You could smell them.
But you're talking about that hydrangea bush, you know, over there where he put his spit on it, he killed it. Gradually went, well, it didn't finish dying until about 2 years ago, but it just kept dwindling back. And it would never survive, but he spit so much on it. I don't know who told me that. Said somebody had said he had it so preserved with that nicotine, I reckon. But it didn't die all at one time, just gradually along. But it finally had a bit of it down. But you know what, since you mentioned it, I never said I didn't make a difference. I'd buy her new cigars or tobacco, whatever he told me. But since she's been gone, I thought about it different times. It didn't bother me. I didn't say nothing about it. And I used to buy them, and I know one time I bought a bunch of cigars and had them stuck in my sweater pockets, and I told him the hoopstock. I said, I know people thought I was crazy walking out, but he sent me back in store, and I thought, well, I'd be in a hurry. I didn't wait for him to hunt the bag, you know, and I just dropped them in my sweater pocket. I said, I know people thought that was funny. He was walking down the street, both pockets full. But that's on somebody I've seen smoke and see at the same time. You ever noticed it?
Oh, I have seen it, yeah. And I've been to
Oh. Well, I didn't know if you ever mentioned it smoke, I didn't know. Well, little dude.
Well, I could go to bed with a chew
crack in
my
mouth. Oh, no.
I could eat breakfast, dinner with a chew crack, practically with it.
But you must have been bad as well.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
You know, I don't mean because he did.
He just lasted a little longer than I did. That's all.
Well, I don't think it really helped me, but some people would say to me, why in the world would you put up with it? I said, that doesn't matter to me. I knew before I married him he smoked. And I remember seeing him spit in a time or two. But that wasn't none of my business.
Yeah. Well, we don't put on a Sunday manners, you know. You wouldn't notice all those things.
No, we had a plain understanding. I used to tell him, I said, when he first started on not getting married, of course, I didn't to take that off, but I had my mind made up that I was never going to marry, I thought. But after I married him, I said, I let Bill talk me into it. But anyway, I said, the no use for people to put on, just be the nicest self. Then if they ever marry, they won't come up with some big calamity.
Yeah.
But I know you've seen it. When they're together, everything one does is just fine.
Yeah.
And whatever the other does, just fine. I don't be married no time for it to be like that.
It don't take much, does it?
Nope. So if they just be the nicer selves, then they won't have to have such being falling out.
You know, one of the things that stuck in my mind, I remember I heard you were the one that talked about it, was that's when Bill's daddy was ailing. He was sick for a good while before he died.
Yes, I don't know how long.
Well, was he able to get around a little bit?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. No, he never was in the bed. He just creeped around. And now, you tell him that Lil got that on his side. He'd go with that old pot in his mouth, and it would stink. Oh, mercy. And then directly he'd lay that down and put enough tobacco in his mouth off the last of him a day or two. But he bragged all the time. He'd taken 14 doses of medicine a day. And then at night, he'd take something. He didn't have that through a doctor. He didn't have no prescription, rather. He didn't count that. Take two of them every night. And then he takes some kind of old cap ease at night to get the asthma smother. He didn't count them, but he just takes 17 during the day. Oh, I repeat the thing. I don't care if the president had to come then sit down at that table. He'd have to rehearse all them pills. And he had one certain glass. But that old man was 55. But he had one certain glass. You had to put that water in by his plate to take the pills.
Oh, yeah.
So, I don't know where he spilled a little bit. And he jumped up and grabbed the glass and went and threw it out of doors. Of course, I wouldn't have been just to stay back there, but I noticed he threw it out on a little bush, you know. I would have stayed down an hour if it had been left up to me. But Will picked it up after then and washed it. But he'd, every time anybody come, he'd have to get all that. Some people didn't mind it, some did. But I don't know how 55 he was when he was a younger man. But he did pretty well when he first got there, but the last year he lived, of course, I didn't know part of it. I didn't know he had a loaded pistol or I'd left him and Bill right there. I'd taken through and walked off and left him right there. But anyway, after he'd been dead 2 or 3 weeks, we were talking about it, and I said, well, you waited a late hour to tell me. He said, there wasn't no use in stirring you about it. And I said, well, why'd he care for? He said, I don't know. The man didn't have lip sense. I don't know why he wouldn't carry that pistol. But if I'd have known, he wouldn't have been carrying that pistol to me then, and him that crazy.
Me
either. Why, I ought not tell you, but we're not even link it together. Sometimes, Bill would go down and get the medicine, or chew in the back or whatever he'd go after. And that old man sat out on the porch and just cried, just wanted to go home. Well, now, put that with toting the loaded pistol together,
yeah.
See?
Yeah.
So, but I never did read across him but one time. My Eva was having a foot. She had infantile paralysis when she was 3 years old. And of course, she limped on it, but she got to where it was real, real bad. So she was going back and forth to Warm Springs. Stayed there, I think, 2 weeks, and home 2 weeks. I think they operated on it 4 times. But anyway, Gussie, that's one of my sisters. At that time, her husband was living, and she was living in La Crosse. But she'd come pick me up. If we weren't there when they ever got there, she'd drive up in a few minutes. And if they was going to leave, well, we'd be there in a few minutes before they left, you know, go back to the hospital. So one morning, at the breakfast table, I said, Lil, if I don't get back in time, I said, would you turn the cows in and feed them? Yeah. But he knew I was going to live folk, see, so I asked him if he didn't get back in time, he'd turn the cows in and feed him, yeah. Okay. We got back, just and I got back full dark. And next morning I was sweeping and out in the hall. He called me. Said he had a crow to pick him, and I went and sat down and propped my broom up there by him. I said, okay, the white and the black one. He said, you can be the judge of that. He said, that little bit. And I said, well, I don't know.
Is that Leo?
No,
Leo.
Daddy Leo, but the cross. Yeah, Carlo used to say, Leo was scared to cross me, but he won't. So, anyway, no, Leo wouldn't have said nothing. If I'd have went on and say that 2 days.
Leo didn't cross anybody much.
No. So the old man said, I just want to tell you, I don't like you slip off to me for me to go to Live Oak. Oh, but I had to wait a little bit before I could know what to say.
Yeah.
I said, well, I don't should know. I didn't slip off. He said, why, you went while I went to the mailbox. I said, well, you're going too fast for me. I said, you know, I have to catch a ride when I go, and I have to catch a ride when it's convenient. Yeah.
When he comes.
That's right. And he said, well, I don't want you slipping off of me. And I said, no, I don't guess you did. I said, I didn't slip off of you, no, never have to. I said, did you hear me ask you if you'd turn the cows in and feed them? I didn't do it. Yes. I said, that was sufficient. I said, I when I was a child, I had to ask if I could go somewhere.
Yeah.
I said, I'm not even a child anymore. So that we dropped it. He never did mention it anymore about me going. I went up several times.
Well, the thing that I don't know if I've thought about that one time. I've thought about that a hundred. Is, you know, he'd sit out there on the porch and just cuss away. After all he worked to get all them buildings out there and all that place there, and then he had to die and leave it.
You mean you seen that old man? Well, I didn't know that.
No, you told me.
Oh, excuse me. Oh, yes. Yeah, he did say that different times.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. He'd walk sometimes, but I, and if he was able, he'd walk from one old building to the other, and I kept saying he was going to set him a fire.
Yeah.
I really did.
Oh. Well, now that's, yes, that might.
Because he was so hurt to know he had to leave him there. And he would play for him all his natural born life. And of course, I couldn't put two together. Looked like he'd thought, well, he wouldn't hurt if he did use him. But it acted like, Miss, I forgot I told you all that. But he did, he acted just like, well, you can tell in his talk. You could just tell. I know one time he said to Brother Hamp, says, Kate, is that? And Hamp thought a lot of Mr. Cameron. He said when he was a young man, he said, nobody knew truthful of Mr. Campbell. And I said, well, I don't know about how truthful he was, but I said, he sure won't tell the truth now. Some things can't like that too much. But he was telling Hamp all that rigmarole. Hamp couldn't say nothing, but I can tell it didn't suit him.
Well, you see, I kind of agreed with him. At least I could see that, because, you see, they had done some work. They had worked. They had worked. Well, you see, by the time I got up there, they all let up a little bit, right smart. And now, I'll tell you one of the things that got me was selling them peanuts. And what I could see was, you see, that it would take all winter sitting there after supper shelling peanuts to have enough to plant. And them was the slowest things to shell I ever saw in my life.
That's right.
I just couldn't. And just take forever. Well, of course, I was slow at it. But well, that's part of it, see?
Yeah.
That's part of the thing, you see, that he'd been through.
The old man never did. Ham said he worked as a young man, but I don't think he ever did so much. He was done like he wanted it. His youngest boy was buried about 2 months ago. Said he used to say that his daddy had to keep something for him to do. He said, kept him shelling peanuts at night to be sure they never did go anyplace.
Yeah.
And he said after he got old enough to go, he said then he'd lock up the house and he'd have to sleep in his car. The old man would lock up the house and we'd let him in and then he'd not die. He had moved. He lived in Ocala for years, I don't know how long. But he talked a little about selling out and going to Ohio, I believe it was. His son-in-law said that people up there made more money sweeping out of office than did down here any job you could get. Of course, he'd fail for that. But Leo told him, he said, well, you like 2 or 3 years, whatever it is, retiring from the city. And he said, if you quit now, I said, that'll steal all your retirement, won't it? Well, it wouldn't make no difference. You'd make so much money up there. But Leo told him, talked to him, not because I don't think that mattered. But he decided he wouldn't think of anything to mind. He wouldn't do it.
Yeah.
Well, then, not because Leo was gone. That didn't have to be with me either way. But later on, he decided, this son-in-law, you know, come back and forth and tell him all that good money. Well, he sold his home and partly gave it away, quit his job. I think some of them said he liked a year, he was tired. But anyway, he quit that and he went up there. And then his wife left him for, I don't know how long, maybe a year. But they was back together when he died. They called, you remember Eagle, I reckon you saw it. Well, she didn't miss off the fall from us by, I think, maybe 2 miles. Well, she called me one night and told me about it.
Who is
you? That was little baby sister. So Euda told me about it. Gibby's body was going to be brought in Saturday. Said that he sit down and eat a, I believe the way he told me, said that they said he ate a hearty supper. And I don't know where he's fixing to go to work. It seemed like me, she said he worked at night.
Are you talking about his little baby
brother?
Ham?
No, his name is Gibb.
Gibb, yeah.
And my brother is one named Ham. But anyway, she said that Gibb ate a hearty supper, and I don't know where she said he started to look at the paper, a little bit of something or other. But anyway, I don't know, but I think she said they pronounced him dead on arrival at the hospital. He had a heart attack and he was gone. But I reckon he left his wife a good social security and insurance. I don't know about that.
And he lived at Ohio.
He lived there for years.
Yeah. But he got the Ohio fever. I've seen people do that.
Well, now
they
that.
Just figured that people live better up there.
Well, that son-in-law told him so many tales. Of course, now, I've never been there. Don't misunderstand me now. But I heard him telling her, you would tell Leo, you know, what all said, why, you could go to that sweet office out once a day and make more money at that than you could at any kind of job you'd have here.
Well, if you just let that percolate in your mind for a while, you'd really get dissatisfied.
Yeah, yeah. And his wife wanted to go up there because the daughter had moved up there.
Yeah.
I was just her young, it wasn't little again, but he adopted it. He was in service, and she got this young, so when he come back, they went on to live together, claiming to be married. But I don't understand such as that. But you know, that's where Herbert married. While he was in service, she lived with, I forgot that man's name. And he hadn't been out of service, I don't believe, over 2 weeks before she come back to her. But that part, that don't suit me, that was him, but I just can't go for that. And Cody had his nigger miss, and I said that was the worst nigger miss anybody ever had, and I was caught right in the middle.
Yeah, and couldn't do a thing.
Couldn't do a thing. Of course, I had the little children a lot.
Now, let me see, your brother Ham, I didn't know him.
He was much taller than you are.
Okay.
I didn't know how tall, but right now I see you like it was 6 feet, 7 inches, something like that. I think I got it right down home, but I got to forget. He used to weigh around 180 and 85 pounds all the time, but he started way before the depression, firing, I don't know what you know, he used to fire cold, but you know that was work. You never did do it like me, but it was work. Well, then he was promoted for engineer. Well, then the depression came on, and of course, a lot of the young engineers went back to firing, and the firemen was laid off, they just didn't have the work, and Hemp happened to be one laid off. And, well, in fact, some of the younger engineers, he knew, you know, was laid off. But Hemp never, he worked, he painted. Hemp said, why, you have to do something. But he made a deal on the WTA, and he made me, that's what I tried. He didn't have good sense, don't reckon. Anyway, he applied for it, and they told him to come in the morning. So he went and worked that way. So that evening, boss man said, you own your own home? Yeah. No mortgage? Nope. I said, I don't mortgage nothing. You own that car you're driving? Yes, sir. Is it paid for? Yes, sir. Well, do you have any money in the bank? Yes, sir. He said, well, we don't need you. And Hemp said, well, thank you. He said, work these son of bitches, it won't work.
Didn't bother him, he didn't.
No, he didn't cry back. He didn't get that. It's so funny. made one day and said he was too sorry they wouldn't have him on the WTA. But he painted. You know that old pass out from Lush Way out there by Bernie's Lake? You remember that overpass out from us way out there by Bernie's Lake? He hit the last. Mm-hmm. He worked all the time, too much. He painted houses for people and, oh, I don't know what all. He got, really, he could have been found more for him to do than he could hold out to do. But then after he went back to firing, he fired coal a while, and then he got diesel now. There wasn't nothing to that. He didn't do that many years in before he really got to running the engine. And then after his wife lost her mind, people were so merciful to him, they let him run the switch engine. That was before he ever knew me.
Yeah.
He shot himself twice. He's still living and he's gone. But you know, I didn't have nothing to do with that. But I wouldn't want nobody in the world to cater to me like he did that morning. No, sir. I don't want nobody to cater to me like that. One of her brothers, Gussie and I had got back from Jacksonville just before dark. And Gussie's husband came out and said Lula had shot herself that day. And I said, well, I'm so shocked. I said, now, if she'd have burned herself up, I wouldn't have been shocked. And Gussie said, oh, what do you mean? And I said, well, I just mean if she's too careless with the stove. So that night, but she was in the hospital, but that night, one of her brothers come along there and asked if he heard any more from him. He said, no. And he said, why? She didn't bleed to this. Said she was over that. Said the Pampa to put a whip on her years ago and put her to work so she wouldn't have thought about shooting herself.
Now, Gus said that?
No, it was a Lula's brother.
That her brother said that.
But he Hamp didn't hear it. He'd have gotten behind him, though. He hired somebody, I tell you, after she got better. But anyway, I'll tell you how I hadn't found it. But when she went to Lake City Hospital, she wore this hospital out over here, and it was like James Florida. Anyway, I didn't know it at the time, but I asked, and I heard that Dr., I forgot his name. But anyway, he laid way to catch Hamp telling me. She said this, and this lady, she wanted to stay in the hospital. She didn't want to go home. She wouldn't tell Hamp. But anyway, finally the doctor told Hamp that he was dismissing him from the hospital. But she stayed in that hospital till I began to think. She, of course, it wasn't that sick. But anyway, then Hamp sent her to the Lake City when she shot herself. And after the wound was healed up, but then I call it a mental hospital, but I didn't have to name it to me, but somewhere in Jacksonville. But after she was much, much better, I went with Hamp to see her. That was so pitiful. She told Hamp she wanted him to leave some money with her. And Hamp said, well, I'll have to check the lady that got the treasure, runs the treasure. He said, they won't let you have but $5 is the most you can have. She said, well, I don't care about what's in the treasure. I want some money of my own. He said, what in the world would you do with money? She said, I could hire my drawers washed. Aunt said, what? Now, when I tell you, then you see how, what color the shoes are for, we said. She said, oh, they'll hire my clothes washed, but she said, I have to wash my own on the clothes. And said, every morning I have to wash my own drawers by hand. Well, that was terrible work, you know. So, Hamp went and checked and come back, and he said, no, they won't let me leave you another penny. And he said, I can't give it to you. He said, it has to come through them. Well, it won't never do me no good if I've got to get out and wash drawers every morning. She said, it won't never do me no good. And I thought, great mercy. But now I kept my old big mouth out of that.
Yeah.
That was such a hard job, you know. But you see why? Now, Hamp had hired somebody to wait on her and wait on her. And the morning, of course, she's one of them weeds. I thought you'd tell her to catch a bull yelling hoot if she wanted to. She could. She was strong, but before Hank, that was the weakest thing he's ever seen. But that one time, she told me to go tell Hank to come in there, which my older sister didn't hardly ever go there. Hank would have to come see her wherever I was at. But that's when Cody might have been high as his table, and then I had a nephew, his sister, you know, a little boy. And Reed just stopped there a few minutes. And Lulu just got back from the grocery store. But we, sister didn't hardly ever go to Live Oak. But we'd been to Live Oak. And ever packed them young's old bananas and apples. And I don't know what all to eat coming home because they didn't eat much dinner. Well, we got the hams and they wanted something to eat. And I said, Lulu, don't you have something I can fix a sandwich for these boys? I said, they're about to starve. She had light bread, and I don't know what all that on the cabinet. Cabinet's finished putting up the groceries. Y'all stay and I'll fix your supper. And I said, oh, no, I'm not going to stay for supper. I said, I want to feed these young so we can stay a little while. I said, sister and Hank wants to talk. Well, I'll fix y'all supper. And I said, no, thank you. I don't want no supper. Well, then the rector this one come to me. I want something to eat. In here it come the other one. Oh, I want something to eat. Well, I couldn't get it, sister, to leave, you know. So there we stayed. But anyway, then, you know, a 5-pound bag of sugar is something real heavy. The canister was here, and that 5-pound bag of sugar was there. So Lulu told me to go tell Hank to come in there. Well, if the president had been there, you know, he'd have got up and went. So he went in there, and she told him, Hank, don't you get the sugar for me? He'd taken that lid off of that canister, and emptied that sugar in that canister, and shook the sack, and put it in this trash can, went on back, you know. He was supposed to do that. I thought to myself, great mercy, but I can't say anything. Okay, then another time I was there, and she had a flower, a little cactus, beautiful cactus. Now, that little pot might have held a quart of dirt, and it was sitting on the floor, and of course, the maid hadn't been there that morning to clean up. And I said, Lulu, can I put this little plant on the table? I had a cute little table there. I said, can I put this plant up here to look at it? Yes, put it up there. And she said, I wish you'd leave it there. She said, well, I forgot to ask Hank to put it up there. And she said, it was so heavy, I wouldn't try to put it up there. But she said, if you can lift it, you can put it up there. Talk so weak. I looked at her. I said, why, Lulu? I said, I can take up 3 or 4 of them. Where do you want to move? I just forgot to get Hank to put it up there. And the maid hadn't got there that day. Just such so that made me stick it in my belly. Excuse me.
Well, Hank was, he was ahead of all the rest of them. He had more, he's a bigger man than any other. Harlow, what size man was he?
Well, Harlow used to weigh about 180 pounds. But
was he as tall as I am?
Harlow was 5'8", I believe, and 3/4.
Well, yeah. Well, I thought he was a little taller than that. But anyhow, he was bigger than I was.
But you know, he had the last, little over 2 years before he died, he had a stroke from his head to his foot.
Yeah.
He really lost weight.
Yeah. Well, was Munch as big as, what size was he? My recollection is Munch wasn't quite that, he was he big?
Oh yeah, Munch weighed, I imagine, about 180, between 180 and 90 pounds. Of course, he just got that after he got up in years. But Munch was 5'9" tall,
yeah,
if I remember right.
So Hank was way out ahead of him.
Yep. Well, the last time I talked about any of our brothers while Hank was living, I said, well, Munch worked hard, but if he got a dollar and an old nigga come up there and put up a full mouth, he'd let him borrow it. Well, you know he wasn't going to pay it back. Well, Harlow, if he wanted to work, he'd work. If he didn't, he didn't.
Always that way?
Yep, all of his life. But Hank didn't have no better sense. He'd work, and then if Hank made a dollar, he wanted to put up part of it. He didn't want to all spend it. He'd put up part of it. But I told Gussie, I said, well, he wasn't a more worker than Munch, but he just had a different sense to know what to do with it.
Yeah.
Now, a hamper that you borrowed if you was in a tie, but if you went off and bought beer with his money, you didn't ever borrow another penny from him.
But Munch.
Oh, yeah.
He let him talk him into it.
Well, I'm sorry for him. And I said, well, who's sorry for you?
Yeah.
I know this old nigga used to be sick, and they borrow money. One of them borrowed $6 from Lil, and Munch laughed about what I said about that. I said, well, you better not never get sick anymore. I said, if you're not going. Now, that was after Bill got to where he wasn't no good. If he'd have been in his thing at all, I wouldn't have had my mouth in it. But I told her, I said, well, Lil's not able to see about it, but I said, you never going. That's the last time you're going to be sick. I said, he's not going to give you no more money to go off to. Munch said she went to jail. Now, she didn't say. I said, Bill's not going to give you no more money to be sick on. Why, Miss Alma? I said, no. Nope. I said, he didn't really know what he's going to do with it. I said, he wouldn't have been giving you no money to go to no juke with. She said, who told you I went to a juke? I didn't tell her, but Munch said he saw her go around and then they went around back of the pool room.
Yeah.
And Munch said that's where she went and said that's where they sold beer to the niggas around there. And he said that's right where that old nigga gal went. But so I told her, I didn't tell her all that, but I said, you're not going to get no more money to go off to drink on. Ah, oh, Miss Alma. Stay where you're at, that's it.
Right where you are.
Well, there was always plenty of work to do. I know that. If you do it. And, I don't know. They.
This is not beans and peas and
vegetables
like you always had, Alma.
Well, this looks like a mighty pretty dish to me.
You see, by the time I got up there, that public work had come in, and nobody, you know, they'd all cut down right smart on the work.
Yeah.
And now, but all them boys had done plenty of work in that time.
That's for sure.
I know.
Yeah. Bill used to say there hadn't been many people that worked any harder than him and Munch and Hamp. Of course, Harlow wasn't included. Well, we didn't know it. But Boy worked. He was a little older than Harlow, of course. But he married you, one of my sisters. And after he was married, he told said that Harlow would go to school. And then he'd call the roll and he'd answer. And he'd slip off at recess and go down there and stay with them boys at the garage. Well, we didn't know that 3 years after then, you know. But that was Harlow for you. He wouldn't work. He didn't want to. And he didn't care about putting up one penny. Not one penny.
Well, I didn't know just how far back that went. I knew, you know, things changed and all. But he's always like that.
Always. That's what he got with being the baby.
Yeah. But you know what? You know, I've heard it said so much that they get along just as well when they figure it that way as they do.
Why, sure. Sure.
Let somebody come along and take care of them.
Well, you know, Gussie furnished him the place to stay over there and done a lot for them. Of course, after they died, she sold the place. She said not long ago she'd have kept it another year or two. Said she'd have could double her money on it.
Yeah.
But she really lost money by it. Harlow, you know, he wasn't going to look at nothing too much. And he pretended to raise cows.
Harlow was a pretty good farmer.
Oh, yes, he wanted to. He could farm. Yes, sir.
Now, you see, he raised a good field of cantaloupes up there.
Yeah.
And then he didn't take too much interest in selling.
No.
And then he raised a good tobacco crop up there.
Why, sure.
And I can see him now running around there looking for some of those no-count niggers. Oh, they were impudent by that time. They were impudent.
You know, I used to get after him. Now, Munch, poor ignorant thing, if he had the biker, that's what it said, and he had the biker. One got sick, he'd quit and take that and back to Lockway. Well, Harlow got to where one got sick, Harlow said he didn't want to work.
Yeah.
They had to stay out there and spend the day till he got ready to take all them hands home. He wouldn't have to quit work and go take one of them.
Yeah.
I know.
Well, it took him a while to learn that.
Yeah.
Well, we went around that and all them places. I didn't know there was so many places out in the woods where them other people hung.
That's
funny.
Yeah. She's helped us to play chair like she thinks I'm going to work. She don't know I'm retired. You're nothing to retire on.
Yes, sir. We have to be retired.
You know.
Some good things.
I think Alma says the blessing. Would you say the blessing, Mark?
Lord, make us thankful for these and all other blessings. We ask for Christ's sake. Amen.
I remember that Leo said such a good blessing.
And he wouldn't eat without it.
And he wouldn't eat without it.
No.
Fine.
And you know, Cody's got his children eating the baby. He's going to say before he eats, he don't want you to eat, please. Granny? You haven't
really?
Let me. And he said, Granny, you haven't let me pray.
Oh, really?
The little fella had chicken pox week before last thing it was. Now, his mother brought him out there during the morning or the evening and told me that he was sick with chicken pox. Next morning, the teacher called out there and wanted to know if I had any way to see him get him. He was sick at school, sick with the chicken pox. And I said, I'm sorry, but I said, nobody here but me. So she called Cody, and he wasn't going to come home to eat, but I thought he'd have to bring Paul out there. I didn't know they were going to call him, but I thought they would. I didn't call him. Lo and behold, he went and got the young'un, and happened he saw the Annie's home, and left. She got a trailer down there, and left the young'un there with her. He said, come on, I had him with snacks fixed. And he said, I thought you knew I wasn't coming home for dinner. I said, well, I thought you were going to have to bring Paul to me and just well to eat. He's quit me on Friday. But, of course, if his boss man is not there a few times, he's come and got me, and if I miss, he'll meow. Oh, I thought you was going to go eat with me. Nope. I don't like to go out and eat all the time.
Did you have any sand this year?
I was telling these women coming along. And you know I had a few bottles when you saw it, but I've got some now.
Huh.
And them sandstorms would cover those old bottles. Ugh.
Gosh, she's got 1,000 and over bottles.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh. Got any a lot of shapes, colors, and I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
An old woman, not old, she, I don't guess she was there. Met up with her and hadn't seen her in a while, and she said, you know what I've started? No. She said, I'm collecting bottles. She said, I've got 17 bottles. I said, come see me sometime.
Where was Leo's sister Eula?
She lived right about that direction from us. Did you ever go by Forest Grove Church?
Yeah.
Well, she lived just this side of that on that same hard road.
Who would Leo buy those beautiful red hogs from that had the collar? And then the lodges together. You live right over there.
Yeah.
No, not Forest Grove. Forest Grove's out west.
Yeah.
This is on towards town.
Now, who in the world did he buy those? Must have been Mr. Pope.
Yes, it was. Oh, they were beauties.
Yeah, well, you know, there's big masons.
Big masons.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, Bill got to where he wouldn't quit going to garage. He got to where he couldn't walk at all, you might say. But Mr. Pope, you know, got $13,000 for that super highway crossing his land. And there was the same people no more.
Oh, really?
No. And Lil said he'd wear dry clean pants down there. And Lil and Mother Rooks would wear them old suntan clean starch. Ah, and that's what they'd wear to the lodge meeting. But after Lil got to where he's so feeble, whoever was there, you know, would go up with him. That was the most miserable step. One flight right straight. And no, well, I tell you, I went up there a few times with Lil, but it felt like me, I'd rather stay down. And Lil said some of them go up with him and somebody, you know, come down with him. And Mr. Pope never did go up with him or never did come down with him. And I said, well, I thought he was as good a friend as you had. He said, just like this. He said, well, I used to think so. But he dressed up. And then Lil was too afflicted that to spoil his something when he first lost.
Well, that was the prettiest pig I ever saw. Just as pretty as any I ever saw. And Leo didn't have him long.
No, I believe that was Mr. Pokey Bolt's son.
I could lie. All that beautiful thing. Didn't take them long, did it?
Mm-mm.
And I don't know whether you are supposed to vaccinate them ahead of time or not.
Yeah.
Are you supposed to? Yeah. And they just skipped over that.
But Mr. Pope, if he was the man, he really paid for it.
Oh, he did.
Anyway, I didn't mean that right, just I shouldn't have said that, but Munch said he knew them hogs had the collar, even why he put in to sell them right then, just had to sell them. Well, last time I heard him talking to Lil that he had buried, he went in the hog business, he was big, Mr. Pope. And he said he'd already buried 9 brood sows and seemed like me 80 shoats. And Munch said, yeah, that's what he got for giving Lil all them old, selling him all them old collar hogs. Munch said, why anybody in the world would have known it? I'd never noticed. In fact, I didn't know nothing about the collar. But after Lil had that mail show up that day or two, I said, did you know that hog was blistered with sun? No. I said, he was lying down, and I said, he must have stayed in the sun a long time. I said, right there on his jaw, so red. Couldn't find out, just fevered to that or something, but I'd never seen one with cholera, you know. I didn't know.
Yeah, I remember that.
So Munch said, then that's the way Mr. Pope paid for it, for selling a little bit of cholera.
Well, I tell you. I tell you what. You're just not supposed to do business with your brothers in the lodge.
I found that out a long time ago.
It'll break up the lodge, won't it?
I'm afraid.
I know that, and I've known that a good while, but I still do business with it, and it always turns out wrong.
Are you Mason?
No.
Are you Mason? I wouldn't have said that to Lil for nothing. So not the way he loved it. I wouldn't have hurt his feelings about it.
Oh, he did.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And he loved it from way back.
That's right. He wouldn't miss a meeting, would he?
Nope. After he got to where he walked on the cane, couldn't hardly go. He'd creep down there, and some of them would go with him up the steps, and somebody come down with him. But this, you know, they look after each other.
Yeah.
Now, Mr. Malice Strickland didn't come because there's Masons. But Mr. Pope come twice. You know, Lil was secretary 13 years. Well, one time he come over there to check something or other what to do about something. and the secretary do it. And then, I didn't call out a visit. So then he brought little past master's emblem. And I didn't call out a visit. Lodge just sent him out there to bring that pen. And Lil looked at it and had me to put up. But anyway, I didn't call out a visit, but then I'm just telling you about the good friends and the Masons, how much they'll visit. And they're supposed to look after the widows and all that, and they've never been one there yet and asked me if I had enough food. Not that I expect them to.
Well, who was your neighbor over there who wouldn't let us put a light pole on his land? What's his name? Don't you know?
Aubrey Wilson had arranged it, but it belonged to his stingy brother, Bub, but he lived off. But when Mr. Wilson had it in possession, Ms. Wilson inherited that land, see, but Mr. Wilson managed it. He let that light wire come across there so they could get electricity. But you know, then after he died and it went to his oldest son,
yeah.
he wouldn't let y'all get no electricity from him.
No. Oh, that's right. That's right. That was in Mr. Wilson's family.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. One of the healthiest outfits I ever saw was over there at Herbert.
Well, I told you.
Mary, with that, all them, that chicken house full of chickens over there, and just something going on all the time. Them boys growing up, and Herbert out there. We asked him one time, Herbert, why do you want that great big old tractor? He said, well, sir, I've always been a little bitty man.
I want a big tractor. But you don't believe this if you quit drinking. Now, that's hard to believe, isn't it?
Yes, it is. I don't know how it happened, but I was by there one night. I think I was there with Hollow. And Herbert had one of them spells with that kidney stone. And I hadn't heard tell of those things. I never had one myself. But that thing hurt so bad, he just lay there and gritted his clenched his fist, and the cold perspiration just poured off. And that lasted a long time. And I had the kidney stone. I don't know what happened to it afterwards, but he sure had it that night. Why, if I'd had anything like that, I'd been there a week for another week, I wouldn't have been able to pick up my hat. And the next morning, he went right off to the road park.
Well, if anybody knows, I guess I know. Doctor, just here in yonder, Hampton take me to a doctor, and there wasn't nothing wrong with him. But it happened, I could work in the daytime, but at night I didn't sleep much. My stomach had hurt me. If I lay on this side, it'd pull in that, so I couldn't stand it. And if I lay on that side would hurt. But there was nothing the matter with me. Had lie flat on my back for years. And so then, after I found out my kidneys were, I didn't know what was going on both. I thought I really was in a fix. Gussie carried me to the hospital. And, of course, Dr. Thomas Sr., of course, he just kept me there, made x-rays and tested and all that till he could get an appointment with Dr. McKeever in Jacksonville. He said that was the best kidney specialist in the state. But, anyway, Dr. Weeks told Gussie, said he believed it was kidney stones. It was too late to try to find out. But I passed the stone while I was over there, but I was so doped up. I'm telling you the truth. A nurse come in there one morning before daylight, and she had on a thick wool sweater and had that fan on me, and the whole print of my head was on that pillow, was just as wet, just sobbed. She said, "Oh, Miss Clark," she said, "I saw your light on before I got to in the hall." Good, she said, "I knew you were suffering." But there's one, I think they had to go to the supervisor to get that dope. But there's one, I didn't know why. She coming out just as nice. Now, Miss Clark, when you get better, turn on your signal. I'll come back and do anything you need, but long as you're in such still as that, don't turn your light on. I said, "Well, I won't need you after I get better." But now that's the truth. My pillar for my, just all you.
You had that. But then you passed the storm.
Yep, I passed the storm about the size of a kid in Sandusburg.
Good Lord. Good Lord. Ain't that a pretty good time?
No, doctor. Somebody showed me one big as my thumb and as long as that finger. Now, he said it was one, I don't know. That was Dr. Fitzpatrick, I believe.
Oh, yeah. Well, I guess he's the truth in him. Sometimes.
Might be. Brother Ambie said I didn't have enough confidence in doctors.
Alma, I can't quite place that place over there. It was over there. Oh, let me see. I don't know. You turned off of that road. That's the road that Herbert lived on. Where did it go to? Not Willis. Now, right along in there was that lane you turned way back in there, and this old place, and the boys, they raised melons, and they raised good ones, and they was, I didn't know them. I just knew of them, and I was back there.
We got
quiet.
Half of melon. Yeah,
melon.
I know it. We're going to cut it later.
And, they was back there, and they played out that Western music at various places. But I guess it was their mother that lived there and sort of kept the place for them. It was way back.
From Herbert.
Yeah, somewhere along there.
That old lady died about 3 years ago.
Yeah.
But you tell me, I have to tell you about everything, but I was so hurt about that old woman. I never had seen her but a few times.
Well, she stayed back there all the time.
Guess what caused her death? Starved to death. Oh, when I found that out.
Well, Alma, I can't imagine that.
Well, you mean just different numbers? They lived on her Social Security.
Yep. And different people said the doctor said that. On the nurse, well, you know what that is. But when somebody went there, she had an axe handle on the bed and said an old loaf of bread, and it lay there, said just dry and hard, and a piece of jar of peanut butter. So I don't know how come this boy of hers let them go there. I don't know much about that. And so she wanted some buttermilk. And one of the women went to town. Got it. But the one told me about it, they were sister-in-laws, and the one told me about it said that poured her out a little glass and said that she just turned up and drank right down. And she said, "Can I have some more?" And she said, "Let's wait a little while." And she said, "I want some more now." So the next day she went back out there. It was too late in the evening then, but the next day she went out there and had to hunt Elton up, wanted him to saw or something. Got her in the hospital and got her cleaned up, and I think she lived about 3 hours after got her in the hospital.
Oh, really?
And they said she starved to death.
It's too far gone.
And Herbert would have scared him something. He used to fix her dinner and take it down there when Mary's living, and then after Mary's gone. But he doesn't stop people. There's Church of Christ, and you know they reach all out. Nobody never did take her thing, never did go to see her, and when she died, They didn't take a mouthful of food there, and I said, well, I can't understand it. Because they always reach after me. Herbert said, well, he wouldn't let them go to the house, and so what could they do? They'd have fed that woman if he'd let her, if he'd let them go on there. But he wouldn't.
Was it just one boy or two?
Well, there was, she didn't have but one boy. But he lived with a woman had a boy. And that old heifer wouldn't even cook, I don't reckon.
They had dogs back then.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, they had dogs. And you know what went with that place? Old boy sold it and sold the money away. I don't think he'd get, had any penny up in 6 months. I think he did. I don't know.
Because he was good. They had good fellows over there. I helped them gather.
He did?
Yeah.
Well, he joined the hippies. Well, first he did with, they said it was his friend. I don't know. And then, but he sold that place his mother had. And then he lived with his friend, they said. But she lived with him there before his mother died. And had his own boy. Well, after he sold that place, I don't know what come to him. He killed her son. So in a little while then, she left him. So he joined the hippies.
Where's your child, babe? See if you can't round her up. She's been off.
Who?
Oh, that was something. That was something. That melon season up there, that was something. I'm telling you, you know, the last thing I remember about Newberry, they'd had a bad melon season there, and one of those service stations there on the road. There in Newberry, going on up to Gainesville, they had melons stacked as high as the little tree. No sale for
them. I know Elmer Lewis had land rented from his orange. And I don't hold him against him, but he wasn't what I thought it was. I was so disappointed. I had one whole dollar bill, and somebody told about his loading watermelons. We went to Missouri, and you know where she lives. Well, I gave the young man a dollar and told him to go there and ask Inez if he'd sell him. I didn't want the price, but anyway, to tell him if he had a dollar and whatever, you know, she'd sell him for the dollar. But she didn't charge him. Give him a call, you know. Plenty of calls. She didn't charge him. Excuse me. Next day, Elmer come in and want to talk to Lil. If I'd known what he wanted, I wouldn't have told Lil to talk to him. I'd talk to him myself. Guess what?
Lil was easy.
Yeah, but Elmo would have, he'd left that easy. So I went and told Lil that Elmo wanted to see him. Guess what he wanted to tell him? Told he'd been over in his watermelon patch because he saw where he rode the bicycle over there where they loaded and where it left.
Uh-huh.
I told Lil, I said, why, I knew he went. I said,
what got into there?
Oh, this didn't have no sense. I said, I'd give the child a dollar and told him to go over there and tell Inez whatever she had for a dollar to sell it, if she'd sell it to him.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I'm going to say that Cody'd been over there in his watermelon. But now he didn't tell that the young'un offered to pay for it.
Yeah.
Cody just went and stole it, see?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, the Coles is just as good as the others. Sometimes they're better.
Well, it didn't matter.
That's what we do. We always go down here to the store, and they always have a stack of those Coles down there, and we buy them two for a dollar, three for a dollar, or something like that.
And they're just as good.
And anything that's red and juicy, the children like it anyhow. They don't ask how much it costs, do they?
Nope. I told you about one like that in dining room. I told Tommy if you wanted to pay it for it, got back. Just feed them Cody.
Your teeth sweeten up
and
better stir it in the bottom.
If
I had to stir mine up.
I don't ever have mine very sweet.
Oh, you don't have very sweet ones. Well, I have mine a little sweet.
I used to have it sweet, but you see.
Are you not?
I get it from Cody. He doesn't like it sweet, so.
So you got an half of my dollars, but each is sweet. Without any sugar, one is. And the hot tea, she's nearly always, she doesn't have sugar in it at all. Just gotten a habit of it, and sister really likes it now. But I have to have a little sugar in mine. I drink more milk than anything else. I don't use coffee at all.
You don't?
No. I don't use my milk fast to drink coffee. And my husband didn't until, we'd been married a long, long time. We were on a trip with another car, and they had coffee every morning. We would cook out, and it would smell so good. There's nothing that smells any better. And they got to saying, come drink, have some coffee with me this morning. So he got to going over and drinking some. So he got to just where he drank coffee then every morning from then on until he died. And I didn't even have a coffee pot until then.
Oh.
Well, we'd been married and children was pretty good sized children. And my father used to come see me and I'd have to make coffee in the stew in a little pan for him. I didn't have a coffee pot.
Well, that beats all. I thought everybody had a coffee pot and drank coffee.
At the very beginning. Well, I had one. Of course, he began to drink it.
Yeah.
Of course, I got one. Oh, yeah, we had to have several because some of them were easy broken. And weigh them up.
We didn't have no black one, but see,
my husband found one that he really liked better than he did the other kind. But he broke several of them, and so he just quit and finally got it. Oh, we just had percolators of all kinds. And break and tear up.
Well, my old daddy was easy to fix for. Anything you fix, cook for him, he'd eat it and enjoy it. Never did ask for but one thing. My mother had an open pot the way she boiled her coffee.
Yeah.
So then, after that pot gave out, of course, I had a percolator. But I just taken that perk all inside out and used it for a pot as long as he lived.
Well,
that was the only thing that he specially wanted, was that boiled coffee.
Boiled coffee.
Of course, now people make fun of you if they see you boiling coffee.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But that's where he wanted it, and that's where I fixed it. Well, in fact, I seldom ever drank coffee long then, and long last year he lived, I thought where I'd drink it part-time for breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
But he was so glad when I started drinking coffee.
With him?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't drink it now?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you drink it now?
Yes,
yeah.
I go that far.
Some people have to have the coffee they send the first thing in the morning.
Oh, yeah, I have a sister like that.
Mm-hmm.
She fixes her coffee pot at night and plug it in. So, I mean, next morning time she gets up, she plugs in that coffee pot. Well, every time she fixes her bite to eat and wash her teeth and what she's going to do, you see why the coffee's made.
Yeah.
But she has to have that coffee.
Oh, yeah, but my husband used to say he had to get built up in the morning.
Yeah.
He had to have his coffee.
Yeah.
Before he passed away, that's what he'd drink. Get his coffee and drink his coffee. But I think I could. I think I could really, could drink it and like it and all right. But why get in the habit of it if I really don't care for it? You
well,
know?
Now that's so
and
good.
So you see?
Yep.
I say, well, what in the world? Why should I get in the habit of just having to have coffee when I don't think it's any kind of food for
oh,
you?
No, not a thing.
They say it's not any food. You know? The only thing with sugar and cream, if you put that in,
of course,
that adds to it.
Yeah.
And so many people can't take sugar and stuff. A lot of people have diabetes. That's that kidney trouble, you know.
Yep.
A lot of people have it. I have a sister that's a diabetic, and she's just, oh, it's awful. She can't eat a lot of things. Oh, she's just.
Well, I had a neighbor. God, I was mentioning him a while ago. She had high blood pressure. Sometimes her face, it looked like it was painted red.
Yeah.
And I said, first I said, man, what's happened? I said, your face looked like it's about to bleed. But all blood pressure was up.
Yeah, blood pressure.
And she cut off she love pork. I seen
okay.
her bake a big ham and cut off a slice that
oh,
big.
Oh, and that was the worst thing that you could do.
She'd eat that pork loved it better than any kind of meat she would have. Well, she's a diabetic and she'd get up there and cook a cake for breakfast. That's right. Get up there and cook a big old chocolate cake and eat enough of it 3 people. So I said to her one day, I said, well, Mary, how do you get by? I said, you had a heart condition. I said, this and that.
Was diabetic.
Yeah, and I said, this, that, and the other wrong way. And I said, you eat more pork than any woman I've ever seen. She said, well, that's what I want, and that's what I'm going to eat. I said, well, go to it. So another time, I seen her eating cake, and I said, well, Mary, I thought you said you weren't supposed to eat sweet. Well, the doctor said not to, but after that, well, now, she was so bad off, so she had a tag on a chain around her neck that said
to tell people that she
was a diabetic in case she had a blackout and knew what was wrong.
Yeah.
And she would cook cake. I've never seen nobody cook that much cake and eat that much cake in my life.
She wouldn't pay any attention to what she's eating.
Nope. Whatever she wanted that. She said, well, she didn't have one time to live.
Oh,
no, I don't. I know I haven't got but one time to live, but I wouldn't know to rush it. But she'd eat anything she wanted, anything else of it. Didn't make no difference to her.
Now, Faye is, I just, you know, she's been out all over, you know, we've got all this acres here.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't know what time to come, but she's come in,
mm-hmm.
and she's going to bring a lot of home. Already cooked.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I sure enjoyed the dinner, Faye. You and Guy talked to y'all, didn't even get to eat your dinner, did you?
Yeah, we're not yes, yeah.
So just keep your plates with you.
Yeah, we'll just keep our plates.
You know, Brother Monkey tell me, he said, I'd rather talk to you. He said, and Cody said, I talk too much. I said, he's the one, and Cody doesn't talk much.
Yeah,
that's my nephew.
Your nephew.
Well, he doesn't talk too much, and he gets back to me, but the older I get, the more talk. That's right. Did you know
you mean the older you're getting now, the more you talk?
That's the truth.
I hadn't noticed that, Faye. Do you think I talk more?
You sure do, Mother.
Well, I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when you get older, you won't work, and if your working power fails, your tongue gets looser and looser. Isn't that something?
Well, I think one thing about, you know, if you don't. Now, I don't
talk as much because you see, now for instance, I've been busy sort of fixing and getting the sandwich stuff and doing. But if you're not doing that, you have more time to talk.
Well, you just know how to talk with nobody.
Well,